Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the first episode of Season 2 for the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by BackSportsPage.com. This is Mo. I'm coming to you live with my co-host T and, of course, Tom. We just wanted to do a special one-time off-season show to recap everything that's gone on in free agency and the draft. We're going to have a lot of fun here, tons of early speculation. Of course, things we say today are bound to change dramatically in the upcoming months, but it'll be fun to take an early look, give our early guesses. We're going to go over the top fantasy rookies, the winners and losers from this year's moves, our first-round mock draft, and lastly, we're going to touch up on the impressive second-year class of running backs this season, which features six potential studs, all of whom are at least close in value. So as we discussed, feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking calls at 760-283-0846. Again, that's 760-283-0846, or you can inbox us on Facebook. All right, first things first, we're going to go with top 10 rookies. Me and T each made our own individualized list, of which we both haven't looked at each other's either, so we're going to go over them now. Possibly debate. We're sure to disagree, of course, as per usual on the show. So what do you want to read them off? I can go with mine first. Number one, I think we both agree Bishop Sankey is going to be the top rookie.
No.
My number four guy is going to be your number one.
Yeah, I have Brandon Cooks at number one. I'll put the disclaimer, and this is just as of today, just because I'm not sure if Bishop Sankey is going to be handed the starting job. You know, it's very possible that he's going to get the starting job in Tennessee. But, you know, Sean Green is a running back there, and I think at the very least Sean Green can be a threat to goal line touches. I think that we know Brandon Cooks' role in New Orleans. I think he's going to not take over for Darren Sproles in, like, the traditional sense, but I think a lot of those short passes, those screens that were run for Sproles in the past are going to go to Cooks. And, we speak in PPR formats. I think 75 to 80 catches for Brandon Cooks in his rookie year is possible, and with his game-breaking ability, I think, you know, he could put up a decent amount of points. Having said that, I do have Bishop Sankey at number two, and I think, you know, if he does get in the starter, he will move up to my number one. But as of today, I have Cooks at number one.
I knew you would, actually. I mean, I like Cooks, but I don't think he's going to be. I have him much lower than you, not much lower than you. I have him at four, and I think that's even a little too high. Just because even if he does take Darren Sproles' role, I don't even know the exact numbers, but Sproles fell off last year, and maybe that's, I don't know if that's a product of his lack of his age. He's you know, declining in talent, but
I just
go around. Jimmy Graham's still there. Colson's getting older too. But
I understand that. But I don't think there's any reason why he can't be number three on the team in targets behind. And they throw the ball more than any other team in the NFL. And with the Saints' offense, it's all about getting their playmakers the ball in space. And I think, you know, this is a team that you're talking about that traded up in the draft to get Cooks. They obviously have, you know, a role in mind for him. I don't think he's going to be the best rookie wide receiver. I just think he might put up the best rookie fantasy numbers, if that makes sense.
I think he's going to be a little bit like, you know, same with Sammy Watkins, too. He's just going to be a little bit like Tavon Austin last year, where he's going to have his two touchdown games and his, you know, he's going to break off those long touchdown runs, and then there's going to be other games. I guess you could say like Darren Sproles, where he did absolutely nothing.
Okay, now what happens if you put Tavon Austin on the Saints last year? How much better is it?
Yeah, I guess you could say, well, compare him to Darren Sproles then. He's going to be Darren Sproles of last year, where Sproles had a lot of games where he did absolutely nothing. And let's just keep in mind, you know, as that is how we do it, but in a non-PPR format, I'm not even drafting Brandon
Cooks. No, you're right. In a non-PPR format, I think 80 catches, and I think he's going to be put in high what's the best way to put it? High, like he's going to have a lot of catchable balls. He's not going to be going downfield and stuff like that. Not a lot of targets necessarily. Just, you know, where like a wide receiver, a good wide receiver, catches 60 to 65%
like
Tavon
in college, a lot of screen passes,
dump balls,
like stuff
like
that.
He's gonna get a lot of catches, you know. And I think he has the best chance to be a consistent rookie, you know, week in, week out.
That's why I have Sankey as number one. Just I think he's going to be most consistent. He's going to win the starting job in Tennessee. Sean Green is awful. You're right. He might take goal line carries, but there's a much improved offensive line. They draft Kerry Lewan this year to make them even better. So, and
like I said, if Sankey does get named the starter, he will be close to my number one.
It's all about opportunity, and that's why I have him number one. And number two is going to be a little bit of a shock, but it's also along the same line.
Okay, I haven't seen it. Let me guess.
So,
Trey Mason?
No. Well, Mason, I love Mason. I have him on here. He's much lower down, but he doesn't have the opportunity. That's the thing. If Zach Stacy gets hurt and Trey Mason jumps up to his top 15 running back in fantasy, but I actually have Kelvin Benjamin at number two.
Okay, I have him at number five.
Yeah, I think he's instantly the number one target for Cam Newton, who lost, you know, they lost their entire receiving core. Steve Smith gone to Baltimore. Who else? They have Brandon LaFell to the Patriots. Who else? They have Dominic Hickson.
Yeah.
I don't even know where he signed, but they're missing one other guy, too, I think. I mean, they bring in Jericho Cotchery.
And
Ted Ginn left, too. So they're top four receivers. So you bring...
Tyquan Underwood, too, they brought in.
But like I said, the talent is obviously not there. Benjamin, you can argue that Benjamin's the most talented in this wide receiver class.
Right, but he's the most pro-ready.
Right, not necessarily. But so they said the biggest knock on him is what, his route running? And he came out in camp already and said that this is a very, very similar offense to what he ran at Florida State. So if he's familiar with it, you know, hopefully that'll give him a jump start on learning the offense, and he can put that talent to good use, you know, behind Cam Newton. That's why I like him, just because of his opportunity there. He's also going to be a little bit of a boomer bust, not so much a PPR guy. But
I get what you're saying about opportunity, and that's the reason I have it at number five. But does he really have more opportunity than Evans or Watkins, who are better players? I mean,
Evans is number two.
Evans is number two, I get that, but he's still going to be on the field for every play. And Watkins is going to walk in and be the number one in Buffalo.
You would think. The problem with Buffalo is I don't think EJ Manuel is good enough, and they're still in a running offense, so Sammy Watkins may not get the opportunities. It's like I said, I compared him to Tavon Austin as well. He's going to have his huge games. I just don't think they're not a big throwing team. I mean, you could say the same about Carolina, but they're going to throw the ball a lot more than and more effectively than EJ Manuel will. Would I be shocked if Sammy Watkins finishes higher than Kelvin Benjamin? No, of course not. I just think there's a good chance that Kelvin Benjamin leads all rookies in targets this year. And so that's what I based that decision on. And you would think, if I had a bet on it today, I would say that Kelvin Benjamin, you know, he's a great red zone target. So he's probably going to finish with more touchdowns than Sammy Watkins. I feel like Watkins has to break off a little more of a longer run. But that's also, of course, why you love Mike Evans. You know, take over Mike Williams' role in Tampa Bay. You put Josh McCown at quarterback, so he's obviously better than Mike Glennon. They got the running game back. The offensive line improved as well. You got to like Mike Evans, probably the safest of the wide receivers, the rookie wide receivers. That's why I have him at number three. I'm sure. Did you say?
I have him at number three.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe there. So then I go Cook, Watkins, Brandon Cooks. I like him a little bit better than Watkins just because. Only in PPR. I think he'll be a little safer.
We actually have the top five just in different orders. Our top five rookies are the same.
And of course, I wouldn't be surprised if any of these guys could finish anywhere in the top five, and I wouldn't be shocked. All right, so number six, starting at six, is probably where we're going to differ. I have Cody Latimer, the wide receiver from Denver, at number six, and he's also my biggest sleeper rookie, only because. And they already have high praise for him. They lost Eric Decker, so someone needs to fill that role. The Broncos did sign Emmanuel Sanders from Pittsburgh. I just think Latimer, there's speculation that he could already win this starting spot. Emmanuel Sanders is a pretty good player, but it's whoever Peyton Manning likes more is going to win this job, let's be honest, and he's going to get the ball thrown to him more. There's plenty to go around in this offense. Let's say Wes Welker gets hurt again. There's going to be tons of opportunity, of course. It depends on this opportunity. Monitor this situation closely throughout camp. Either way, Latimer needs to be drafted just because of the opportunity that's possible here. His upside is as high as potentially any other rookie in this draft.
Yeah, here's the problem I have with that. Even if Cody Latimer is more physically talented than Emmanuel Sanders, which I'm not sure he is. Emmanuel Sanders is a good wide receiver in his own right. I can't see a rookie going from Indiana to Peyton Manning's offense and picking it up mentally. You know, you have so many things to adjust to when you go from college to the NFL, let alone a Peyton Manning offense. I don't think
yeah,
he's going
to... Of course. Like, I don't know how mentally ready this guy is. But to be honest, I never even saw him play. But just the fact that he's going to be in this offense. And I mean, you could say, well, remember Austin Colley again. But then again, you know, he's a smarter player, so he picked up that offense potentially quicker than Latimer can.
Yeah,
who's playing for,
I would
for
not. I mean, he's got to be that. Like you said, I just see the Denver offense going, you know, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Wes Welker in the slot, and Emmanuel Sanders on the other side.
So even if that's the case, he's one injury away from being a wide receiver three in fantasy.
Unless it's Wes Welker, because he doesn't play in the slot.
Right, but they're going to still find.
Yeah.
Still find,
I mean,
space.
I personally have Andre Williams as my number six rookie. I think he's going to get. I have him and Trey Mason back to back. It's whoever you really like better. I just think they're going to get about 35 to 40% of their team's carries.
I think Williams is. Again, it's early. I think Williams is locked in as the goal line back. I can't see that not happening as long as he doesn't fumble the ball. You know, as long as he can hang on to it.
He did it in college, so there's no reason to.
If he's a safe, from all reports, this guy, he's just a pretty much like Brandon Jacobs. He just runs people over. No vertical movement whatsoever.
No, as a pure in between the tackles runner, he was probably the best in the draft. There's the other stuff that caused him to fall. He can't catch the ball. He really doesn't have breakaway speed, but that's not really what the Giants look for in running backs.
Right, and let's be honest, they don't have much talent there. David Wilson looks like he's going to be healthy and back, but who knows what's going to come of that. I mean,
right.
They signed Rashad Jennings, which shows
really,
they were not necessarily desperate, but, you know, they needed help there.
Rashad Jennings has never really played a 16-game season as a lead runner.
And he's
either.
Just flat out, he's not that, he's not an elite talent. So.
Right.
I do have Andre Williams at 8. I do like that, especially, you know, we'll find out more of his role later on.
Who is your number 7?
I have Mason at 10. I have Johnny Manziel at 7, and everybody knows, all my friends know, you especially, I hate Johnny Manziel. I don't think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. That being said, he goes to Cleveland. They're in desperate need of attention. We've all heard this story. We've all heard, you know, I think, what's his name, Hoyer is a much better quarterback, and he should be the starter. Now you bring in Johnny Manziel, they're just going to, that's fine. If he starts, he's going to be a quarterback too. And if you're in two quarterback leagues, he's absolutely worthy of starting. And
he's going to be fantasy relevant on rushing yards alone.
It hurts a ton that they lose Josh Gordon. I mean, that's his biggest threat. But he's going to run the ball. Any quarterback that runs, like Terrell Pryor last year, if you can make Terrell Pryor into a
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying that Johnny Manziel is a better player than Terrell Pryor. And Terrell Pryor...
I don't know.
was,
yeah,
Terrell
probably.
Pryor was startable. Okay. Having said this, if Johnny Manziel starts and plays 16 games, which I know that's a whole other argument, I'll set his over-under of rushing yards at 450 and his rushing touchdowns at 3.5. So if you take the over or under. And if you got a...
What did Terrell Pryor have last year? I don't even know how to...
Pryor had 576 last year.
Rushing yards?
Yeah.
Then Manziel's going to go over that, because Pryor didn't play every game.
I don't have the games played.
Pryor, I know Pryor...
What did I say, 450, right?
What's his name? Matt McGloin started two...
I mean,
two
Griffin
games.
Had 489, and Alex Smith had 431. All right.
Yeah, he'll go over. If he plays all 16 games, he'll absolutely go over that.
Okay, so then you're talking about a top 15 quarterback, probably alone on rushing.
That's what I'm saying. He's never going to break quarterback one territory. You know, he's somewhat going to.
You can't say that he's never going to break quarterback one territory. I mean,
I don't think he is.
RG3 isn't the greatest throwing he's quarterback.
He's much better than Johnny
Manziel. Right, but what I'm saying is in a 10 or 12 team league, RG3, if he's healthy to play 16 games, is probably a top five quarterback.
Top five?
No.
Yes.
RG3?
If he plays 16 games, yes, he is. Yeah.
Well,
I completely disagree, but anyway.
Yeah, if you play 16 games, you're going to rush for 800 yards.
I totally disagree. I mean, why wasn't he drafted as a top five quarterback last year then?
Because he had his torn ACL last year.
Still, I mean, he was
a question mark for week one. He's a top five quarterback.
He still played.
He's not going to get drafted like a top five quarterback because no one thinks he's going to play all 16 games. But my point is, if he plays all 16 games, he's better than Cam Newton, isn't he?
RG3?
Yeah. He's
That's
way better.
Totally debatable. It's possible. I wouldn't be surprised, but no, you're making it like it's a lock that he's going to be in there. I can tell you maybe he takes the fifth spot, but off the top of my head, Breeze, Manning, Rodgers, Stafford.
I would argue,
easily rather have.
I would argue Griffin over Stafford.
I guess you could, but I wouldn't. This is based on him starting.
All right, we all know Andrew Luck is a much better quarterback than fantasy-wise, I would take RG3.
Yeah, probably. I mean, why would you not take Kaepernick or Cam Newton over RG3?
Top five quarterbacks last year. Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Cam Newton was three.
Andy Dalton.
Right. Andrew Luck, Andy Dalton. We all know Rodgers deserves to be in there. Other than that, I mean, here's Manning, Brees, Rodgers are our top three, right?
Yeah.
Let me read off a list of the next guys. Who would you rather have? Cam Newton.
Over Griffin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have Cam Newton. I don't even like Cam Newton.
And you know Washington now has DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew Luck.
I'd rather have Luck. Unless you're saying RG3 definitely starts 16 games. But
you can't assume an injury. That's what I'm saying.
With him, you kind of can. I mean, it's the same. You could say
not really.
You can assume it. I mean, why isn't Aaron Foster going as a first-round running back then if you can't assume injury? If you can't assume injury, then why is Aaron Foster not a top-five pick? You can assume injury. Now, you're not necessarily assuming it, but you have to draft. You have to draft according to
it. The thing is, like, he's not – Aaron Foster has had – first of all, he's a running back and not a quarterback. Second of all, like, RG3 tore his ACL on a non-contact injury. It wasn't like it was, you know, I don't know. I think he's a top-five quarterback if he's healthy.
All right, anyway, I don't think Johnny Manziel breaks quarterback one status.
I don't think he's going to start the year as a starter.
He's going to get drafted in every league, especially unless they come out and flat-out say that Hoyer is going to be the starter there. And even so, if they get off to a bad start, you know, they're going to want – there's going to be it's a Tebow factor. They're going to be chanced to start Manziel as early as possible. Speaking of Manziel, I mean, in Cleveland, I do have Terrence West on my list. Brown signed Ben Tate. Of course, Ben Tate's injury prone. Never carried the full load. I like if he does go down, Terrence West will be a running back two flex play. We still don't like their situation in Cleveland, especially with noodle arm Johnny Manziel and his.
Here we go. Now we're going to have to look for this all year.
And no Josh Gordon. Who do they have? They're starting – I can't believe they cut Greg Biddle. They're starting Miles Austin and
– Andrew Hawkins.
And Nate Burleson if he comes to 20, whenever he comes back. But.
Yeah, I put – I actually have Terrence West / Isaiah Crowell as number 8. They're both rookies. Crowell was the kid that went to Georgia, started as a true freshman, was great, and then got kicked out for dealing something or drugs. I don't even know what it was. But – you know, whichever one of those rookies is probably going to come in as the backup, and whichever one is, that he'll be my number 8 rookie.
All right. I mean, I'm done with my list, but I do have a few honorable mentions. Eric Ebron from Detroit. I think there's too many tight ends, and there's just too many. They have too many weapons now for him to be a legit threat. Plus, he's not really going to get the goal line touches.
Yeah, I actually have Amaro above Ebron, but. I think Amaro's going to be on the field more, basically. That's it. Ebron's a better talent. The one guy I do want to talk about is Jordan Matthews from the Eagles. I think he, you know, talk about pro-ready. Besides Mike Evans, he might be the most pro-ready wide receiver in the draft. He was a second-round pick out of Vanderbilt. He was a senior, he was the highest senior wide receiver drafted. And,
you know, I think in Chip Kelly's offense, anybody can be a playmaker. And with DeSean Jackson leaving, there's obviously, you know, and Jerry Maclin as a question mark, there's a huge void at wide receiver in Philly, and it wouldn't surprise me if he starts the year as a starter in that offense.
Yeah, if Foles is as good as he was last year, or even close to it, I don't think he's going to flirt with top five status like he did in his starts last year, but that's definitely a good call. He does have sleeper potential at the wide receiver spot. There's guys like Javonta Freeman from the running back from Atlanta. If Stephen Jackson gets hurt, Jeremy Hill from the Bengals, another guy they drafted, and, you know, sort of depth plays. But
Austin Seferin Jenkins is probably going to win the tight end job in Tampa.
Yeah, I love the weapons in Tampa for whatever quarterback ends up starting there. We do have Martavis Bryant from Pittsburgh. We went over the fact that they lost Emmanuel Sanders and Jericho Cotchery. So, you know, Brian could end up as the number two wide receiver in that spot. Big target, could get the red zone looks. And then just to keep an eye on Odell Beckham, it's another situation where if he does win the number two spot, he could potentially, you know, even Ruben Randall was viable and startable in these last year. So,
yeah, I mean, Eli Manning's going to throw interceptions, but he's also going to throw touchdowns. So if Odell Beckham is on the field, then – you know, he can be fantasy relevant.
All right, let's move on from the rookies. This isn't the biggest. It's not the safest class. I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Manziel will be drafted. Sankey, of course. A few of these wide receivers, Benjamin, Cooks, Evans, Watkins. Other than that, they might not be drafted. A lot of these guys you're going to get off the free agent wire. But then you never know who's going to pop up. We have situations. I look at the rookies last year. I mean, Keenan Allen finished as what? Close to a top five rookie.
I have a five wide receiver.
He was definitely up there.
I don't have the PPR rankings, but I have not.
But anyway,
PPR
the
rankings.
Point is, there's going to be guys who we don't even talk about today who are going to be pretty good fantasy players, not only from
Keenan Allen. I mean, and non PPR, and he didn't have a lot of catches, so non PPR actually helps with these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Way lower than I thought. Anyway,
he hasn't been a starter year as a starter. So.
Right. Yeah, he was great as a rookie. You want to move on and do the first-round mock draft?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I had a little trouble. The rookies I went through pretty easily. The first-round mock draft, I think this is the top three guys. The thing I noticed this year, you want one of the top three picks. You actually want one of the top four.
Yeah, I think there's a very clear-cut top four.
Very, very clear-cut top four. The order, not necessarily, except for number four. I think Matt Forte is going to go number four in almost every single draft this year, providing nothing changes.
I would actually take, in a PPR, I would take Peterson four.
I would take Peterson just on talent alone. That's why I have Peterson number one for now. You want to check up on his health once it gets closer to it. Teddy Bridgewater, I don't even care if Teddy Bridgewater starts. Doesn't matter. He's done this with Christian Ponder. The guy's just unbelievable. It's just hard to pass on that talent.
He's 29 years old.
It doesn't matter. Like, he just defies odds constantly. So I put Jamal Charles 2, LeSean McCoy 3. Again, put them in any order. If the Eagles didn't trade for Darren Sproles, I'd probably put McCoy ahead, you know, possibly even number one. But
yeah, I have Charles 1, McCoy 2, Forte 3, and Peterson 4. And here's my thing. I think Peterson gets a tad overrated because he had the 2,000-yard season. And when I say overrated, I don't mean that he's not great, because he is great. But Jamal Charles put up more points last year than Peterson in PPR leagues and Peterson put up in the 2,000-yard season year.
Yeah, like I said, it can go in any order.
Number.
It can go in any order, obviously. It's just that's why you're splitting hairs here, so that's why I just go with the most talented by far. Obviously, the situation matters. Durability matters. You know,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think we're splitting hairs. I think Jamal Charles is a clear-cut number one. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I wouldn't argue against that, but I think you're crazy for letting Peterson fall to four. But anyway, like I said, those are the top four guys in pretty much every mock draft. This is where it separates. You don't want anything lower than four. If you do get lower than four, you probably just want the last pick, just so you could pick back-to-back and start rounding out your roster.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. If you're a Calvin Johnson guy, then you probably
I'm even – everyone knows how much I love Calvin. I have him going 11 here based on a 12-team league just because I like two other guys. I like 12 guys that I couldn't decide who to leave out. They're just – I love the whole Lions offense this year. They're just going to incorporate so much more. Offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi comes over from the Saints, and he's going to turn that into – pretty much the same as New Orleans offense. And, of course, you know, Colston was a nice wide receiver there, nice number one. I just don't think they're going to use Calvin as exclusively as they have in recent years.
So who do you have going number five?
I have Monty Ball going number five. You can, of course,
okay.
I'm way, way higher on Monty Ball than a lot of people will be, especially at this time of year. I just love his upside. You know, Sean Moreno finishes a top five running back, and we all know that Monty Ball is much more talented than Moreno. It's just because of the offense, just because of the situation.
So you're telling me right now, if you drafted number five overall in a league, you would take Monty Ball?
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe Peyton Manning. But
I was going to say over Peyton Manning, over Calvin Johnson, over Marshawn
Lynch. He's my next rated running back by far, not even close. Doug Martin is the only person I would consider over him.
Okay.
And I just love his situation. He's gonna get every goal line carry. He can catch balls out of the backfield. The only thing I'm worried about is the fumbling problems. That does scare me if you lose your first-round pick to a benching. But they don't have anyone behind him. They have absolutely no talent behind him. They didn't sign anybody. They didn't draft anybody.
But don't they have, like, that kid Chris Anderson? They're like, CJ
exactly.
Anderson, whatever the hell his
name is. How much did they like him if he barely got any time last year?
And is Hellman still there? I don't even know.
I couldn't even tell you, to be honest. I mean, it's not like those guys, they like those guys that much. And Monty Ball came on towards the end of last season. So Peyton Manning just said good things about him. Again, this is, you know, it could change, of course. Right now, I just love the upside of Monty Ball.
No, I
really
think Monty Ball is the first-round pick. I just don't know about fifth overall.
There's no one else I like here. I mean, you could take Peyton Manning. I have Peyton Manning 6, Jimmy Graham 7. Who, of course, you know, I wouldn't mind if you went Graham 5-2. There's a tight end deep this year, kind of the same as last year, but still, he's the cream of the crop by far. He's the best tight end in the league. Eddie Lacy, I have 8, which is kind of another guy. It's another high upside, but there's risk there as well. I think there's just as much risk with Eddie Lacy as there is with Monty Ball. He's going to get the opportunities, but, of course, the injury problems last year, it kind of, you know, takes a knock on his stock. So Marshawn Lynch is solid as they come. Non-PPR leagues, you can even knock him up a bit. I have him going 9 overall. I'm higher. Again, I love Doug Martin. I think he's going to get the goal line touches. Tampa Bay's offense is going to be much improved. Lovie Smith comes over. Last time he coached was in Chicago. And, of course, Matt Forte was always successful there. You can say it's not necessarily the doing of Lovie Smith, but I think Doug Martin, they already locked him in as a starter again. He's healthy. He's good to go. Do you think Martin's a first-round pick? Am I right with that? I definitely at the end of the first round. I mean, I would love if you don't get a top-four pick, I would love to get 9 or 10. And if I ended up with Doug Martin and Monty Ball, I'd be absolutely thrilled.
I mean, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying about Doug Martin. I hear it. But, like I said, if I'm drafting today and I have a 10th pick and I take Doug Martin, I just have a hard time thinking that I'm going to like my team. I don't know.
He was consensus top. You know,
I think if I'm picking at number 10, I'd rather take a chance at somebody like Demaryius Thomas than Doug Martin.
Yeah, I obviously wouldn't argue that. I hope Doug Martin falls just so I end up getting him. And you're going to get him. Some people are going to get him in the third round, late second, early third round of draft this year, and it's going to be an absolute steal as long as he stays healthy. He's going to bounce back. This is his third year. I mean, aside from the injury, I know he wasn't playing well before that, but Tampa was a mess last year. As much as it pains me to say, I mean, Shiano was awful. He was god awful.
Yeah,
they were it went from Josh Freeman, who can't even. Might not even make the Giants as a backup this year.
He's not going to make the Giants. They're going
to cut him. To Mike Glennon, a fourth-round rookie. I mean, you got to give these guys a break. So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, I differ a little bit from you. I would not take Peyton Manning that high.
because I think quarterback is deep, and you're going to think I'm absolutely crazy here. I don't know if I'm going to have Peyton Manning. I haven't done rankings yet. I don't know if I'm going to have Peyton Manning as my number one quarterback this year. I may have Drew Brees. Drew Brees, based on last year's stats, faces the easiest passing schedule in the league this year.
I would still have Peyton number one. I think you're not nuts, but if you're not going to take Peyton number one, then you got to go Rodgers. Brees is obviously good. He's consistent, but they have a Colson. They just don't have a go-to wide receiver anymore, unless you want to count Jimmy Graham, of course. You lose your safety valve there.
It's one of those things where, like, I just don't even think about Peyton Manning because I know I'm not going to have him on any one of my teams because I know somebody in the league is going to like him way more than I do. He's just never on one of my teams. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, of course.
But, I have no issue with Jimmy Graham as a mid to late first-round pick. And like I said, I think at the end of round one, you're going to see a run on running backs. And then I'd rather, I understand what you're saying with Doug Martin and stuff like that, but I would rather go with the proven wide receiver in Brandon Marshall or, Demaryius Thomas, or, if Calvin's there, would have been Josh Gordon, but obviously not. A.J. Green. I'd rather go with one of those guys at the end of round one than reaching for a running back like Doug Martin. I think you can find value later in running back.
I don't think it's a reach. I mean, I just think wide receiver is even deeper this year than it was last year.
I don't want to miss on my first round pick, and I think you have a better chance of missing on Doug
Martin. Yeah, you obviously want a stud, but all right, so rounding out the draft, I have Le'Veon Bell going 12. Would you rather have him than Doug Martin?
Yes.
I don't understand where all this risk with Doug Martin is coming. I really don't. As long as he comes back healthy, what changes about that situation that...
So you like Doug Martin over Ray Rice?
Oh, right. This year?
Yeah.
Not even close. Ray Rice is a fifth-round pick this year.
Oh, no. He's going to be a second-round pick.
He might get suspended, too. He said he might get suspended this year.
Well, I mean, I didn't know that, but if he does, then...
Ray Rice. I mean, he wasn't even startable last year.
Ray Rice. When we go to watch... talk about our coaching changes. We'll talk about that.
You could take Ray Rice. I mean, he might he might get suspended. He might not even start. And just look how bad he was last year.
Like I said, if he gets suspended, that's different. But
we'll talk about that
when we talk about our.
Anywhere near the second round. But anyway,
want to go to the coaching changes now?
We'll go ahead. I mean, we don't have to put a whole segment to it. But
I was just talking about Gary Kubiak is going. He's the new Baltimore offensive coordinator, and since Harbaugh is a defensive coach, he's basically handing Kubiak the keys to the offense. And as we know, Kubiak has implemented that zone blocking scheme in Houston, which has led to, Arian Foster's breakout, who he was a number one overall fantasy player 2 years in a row. I think Ray Rice is more talent than Arian Foster, and I think if Ray Rice gets his head on straight and comes back healthy, then I think he can be
I think he was healthy last year, though.
No, he had the hip problem.
He was playing. I mean, he was that bad.
Let me ask you a question. Do you know what Steve Slayton, Orlandis Gary, and Ruben Jones have in common?
Well, they're all 1,000-yard rushers?
Under Gary Kubiak.
I mean, that's fine. You could also, two of them are in the Denver zone blocking scheme. I mean, Steve Slayton, was that...
Wait, the same zone blocking scheme.
Yeah.
Gary Kubiak was with Denver back then.
Yeah, what happened with Steve Slayton the year after that? After he was drafted as a first, second-round pick.
Just saying, who cares though? You have Steve Slayton as, that guy. But
I guess you could say, how long was Kubiak a coach in Houston for? Did he have Dominic Davis when Davis became a first-round pick in a few
leagues?
I don't
think so, no. Kubiak's teams have ranked in the top five in the league in rushing, top five in more than half his seasons in the NFL.
All right. So you know what? I think Bernard Pierce actually outscores Ray Rice this year.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's May 21st. We don't know that. But whoever is going to get named the starter in Baltimore, I like them a lot.
Anyway, we'll see if anyone has any input on that. We're taking calls 760-283-0846. We could talk about, I think Bernard Pierce, the guy whose stock is going up just because of the decline of Ray Rice. So, I mean, we can talk about who are our biggest guys whose stock goes up. And I have not necessarily in any order. I just listed my top, three who came to mind. I have just quarterbacks in general on the brink of stardom who, Matthew Stafford, Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick, love the three of them. I think all three of their stocks go up with the free agent acquisitions. Stafford, they get Golden Tate, Eric Ebron.
I would say Stafford, Kaepernick, and who?
And Andrew Luck. I think they just, both teams improve.
Real bold predictions there.
What?
Real bold predictions there.
No, I think that their stocks go up. I think they're all going to finish higher than they did last season.
The top five quarterbacks last year, and Kaepernick, who just had a bad year.
Who's the top five quarterback?
Luck.
Andrew Luck was not a top five quarterback.
Andrew Luck was the number four overall quarterback last year.
Andrew Luck. Not even close in points per game.
Man, I'm looking at it right now. It's Manning, Breeze, Newton, Luck. Andy Dalton, Phillip Rivers, Matthew Stafford. So you're talking about the number four and number seven, and then Kaepernick's number nine.
I'm going to say, they're all going to finish ahead. I mean, points per game, absolutely don't think Andrew Luck was top five, but either way, let's see. We do have a caller. We do have our first caller on the show. Caller, are you there?
Hello? Okay.
All right, caller, hung up already. So it is the off season. We'll give our callers a break. It's been a while. Yeah, I don't. Of course, they're not bold predictions. I don't think it's a bold prediction. I think their stock just goes up even more. You know, you want to look at if Andrew Luck did finish as a top five quarterback, now he gets Reggie Wayne back, and they sign Akeem Nicks.
Oh, I agree. I don't think that necessarily translates to fantasy success.
What, having better weapons, getting your star receiver back, and signing the Giants number one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I like his situation there. It's Kaepernick. They acquire. They're pretty much in the same situation. I like him. Last year, it was questionable whether he's a top 10 quarterback. Now I think he definitely goes in there.
He gets Crabtree back for the full season.
Crabtree back. They signed Stevie Johnson. Just a ton of safe, shorthanded wide receivers there. Anquan Boldin, Vernon Davis. I just like his situation. I do have, along those same lines, of course, you could say the same thing, Josh McCown. I would say he was probably, top five in points per game last season when he did have Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. But now he goes to Tampa Bay and has a great chance to start. I didn't even think about it. Was McCown on Chicago when Smith was the coach, or they just signed him for last year?
No, he wasn't. He was on.
So they have no relationship then. I mean, either way.
I think he's in Cleveland. I don't even know.
I just like the much better weapons there. You know, they draft Mike Evans. Of course, Vincent Jackson. It's just easy. You know, easy. It's the big targets, kind of like Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall. They're going to go off and get the ball.
Yeah, my only thing is, you know, he's going from Mark Trestman to Lovie Smith. Like, Lovie Smith's not exactly known as the most offensive coach in the world. So.
No, but it's the same. It's opportunity. He's going to be a starting quarterback. Most likely going to be a starting quarterback, obviously, assuming he wins the job over Mike Glennon.
Yeah, if we're talking about quarterbacks, the one guy I really like is Joe Flacco. I think he can be a top 10 quarterback this year. Much like we were talking about Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce, how Kubiak's offense helps them. This is the guy that had, you know, in his offense, Matt Schaub, who I think we can both agree Flacco is way better than. You know, he threw for 4,000 plus yards, 25 plus touchdowns. I think, you know, Flacco with that play action with Torrey Smith and Steve Smith, I think that, you know, if the running game works out, as most Gary Kubiak's running games do go, I think that Joe Flacco and, while we're talking about the Ravens, Dennis Pitta are going to both see big upswings in their stock.
I mean, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of Dennis Pitta only because the Ravens sign Owen Daniels, so he's going to take away from his touches there. I mean, I just think Flacco is what he is. I would take all three of those. I guess it's easy to say, like you said, they finish as top 10 quarterbacks, but I still don't like Flacco as a quarterback one. I mean,
no, I wouldn't love it, but I think he's going to be in the mix.
what I'm saying, I think he's going to be better than he was last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Who do you have in your stock up?
As far as quarterbacks, as far as...
Just in general.
In general, I mean, I kind of ranked them, not really. I have Monty Ball at number one, just because
yeah.
No, Sean is going to be gone. You know, I think he's going to be the unquestioned starter. And Emmanuel Sanders is number two. You know, I think he's going to win that job. I think he's going to get 100-plus targets from Peyton Manning. I think he's going to be a really good wide receiver three, low-end wide receiver two. Number three I have is Ben Tate. He finally gets the starting gig in Cleveland. And, you know, I think, like most running backs, he has a injury history, but I think, you know, he can he's a very good running back. And then I have your boy, Golden Tate, at number four. He just, you know, he goes from a running offense to a team that, besides the Saints, pass, or maybe even more so than the Saints, passed the ball more than anyone else in the league last year. And number five, I felt bad leaving him off the list. I don't necessarily like him. It's more about the unknown. I have Toby Gerhart. Because we don't know what he can do.
I hate Toby Gerhart. I think he's just going to... He's just going to be overdrafted. He's going to be taken as that just because he's starting, and they really don't have any other options.
His stock is up, though.
yeah, his stock is absolutely up. You're right about that. I mean, he went from undrafted last year to...
Correct. Well, those are my top five, and then I just made a list of guys that we don't even really need to talk about, but guys that I just think are in better situations this year than last year. I have Hakeem Nicks. I just think he needs to, you know, change scenery out of New York. Brandon LaFell, Darren Sproles, Rashad Jennings, Chris Johnson, Steve Smith, Andrew Hawkins, and then the three guys Carolina signed, Jason Avant, Tyquan Underwood, Jericho Cottry, because one of those guys is going to go from not really playing that much to being a team's number one, number two.
One, the guy that should have been in there, I love Brandon LaFell this year. I just think he has such a great opportunity. Any wide receiver with any inkling of talent on New England's offense is... Yeah, it's just, and you could say, you don't say Julian Edelman, not that his stock is up, but if he goes to any other team, he's practically useless. But now he becomes wide receiver two, wide receiver three for sure, staying in New England, especially in PPR leagues. My stock down, we've talked about it already. I have Cam Newton on there, losing these wide receivers, you know, going to a rookie as number one and signing a bunch of, you know, practically journeymen after that. So, Eric Decker to the Jets. We've heard so much about it in this market, of course. I like Eric Decker. He's going to be the number one target. He's the number one wide receiver there. But there's just not going to be much to go around. They draft a tight end to take even more away from him. I think it's safe to say that he was mostly a product of Broncos' system and Peyton Manning. Good for him. He got a ton of money out of it. So, and of course, he's something they needed. They did need the help there. But he's just going to be the same thing as Antonio Holmes. He's going to go to this Jets offense and just almost disappear.
Yeah.
Committee running backs. Now, what I mean by that, I have a few in general. Guys who were the starters last year who are going to take a knock on their production just based on either signings or a change in offense. Reggie Bush, he's not going to be the feature back anymore. I think he's going to split. It's going to be a 50-50 with Joik Bell. He'll still be nice in PPR leagues. In non-PPR leagues, Reggie Bush, who finishes like a second-round running back last year, he can fall all the way to the fifth or sixth round, and I wouldn't be surprised.
I think Bell will get more carries. Bush will get more touches.
Yeah, most likely. And it looks like Bell's going to get the goal line as well. I think Bell's going to outscore Bush this year. Zach Stacy's another example. I love Zach Stacy before they draft Trey Mason, where – I don't think necessarily Trey Mason might not necessarily take a ton of touches away from him, but it's something you have to worry about.
Especially with Zach Stacy's injury history. It's completely possible that Trey Mason comes in and is a better running back.
It's weird that they drafted Trey Mason. We kind of didn't see it coming. Could just been a depth move. We're not sure. But then they also cut Darrell Richardson, who wasn't great but showed promise. So they...
Right.
Yeah,
well, clearly they weren't happy with him.
Right. Noshel Moreno goes from the best offense in the league, the most efficient offense in the league, to the Miami Dolphins. He's going to be splitting carries with Daniel Thomas and Lamar Miller. and he's just not that good. He's flat out not that good. There's a reason it took him this long to become relevant in both in the NFL and in fantasy. The Broncos have let him go for nothing for the most part. Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew, not that any of them are good to begin with. It's a horrible situation in Oakland. These guys, I mean, I hated drafting McFadden last year, but there's none of these guys are going to be on my team at all this year.
Yeah, I have Maurice Jones-Drew there as well, and I didn't even list Darren McFadden.
This is still,
I will never have Darren McFadden.
This is a situation to completely avoid. Now, Ryan Matthews came on at the end of last year, and it's about time. A former first-round pick who was a real-life first-round pick and fantasy for one season. He finally came on at the end of last year. Kenny Woodhead, of course, or the beginning of the season at least, was a better running back, especially in PPR leagues. But now, I don't understand, they go and sign Donald Brown, and they actually paid a decent amount of money for him. So, I guess, you know, my guess is that they try to incorporate him here. It just hurts his stock a little bit. Of course, if you had to go in order, it'd be Matthews, Woodhead, Donald Brown. I don't think Matthews is worth more than a fourth, fifth-round pick.
Again, I probably won't own any of them.
I'd much rather have Woodhead as like an eighth, ninth rounder.
To me, the only one that I'd even probably own is Woodhead in a PPR league, just because usually you don't see a drop-off in catches for guys that are primarily – or their primary value is catches, you know, like the Darren Sproles, even though Darren Sproles could have brought – the Saints could have brought Darren Sproles into the Saints could have brought another running back into New Orleans, and Darren Sproles always would have had his role there because he's the only one that could do that. And I think that's kind of like Danny Woodhead in San Diego. No one's going to catch the ball like Danny Woodhead in San Diego. So I think his role is kind of safe, but I think Donald Brown takes away from Ryan Matthews more so than he takes away from Danny Woodhead.
Yeah, it just clouds the situation there.
Yeah.
I mean, we pretty much had the same type of guys. There weren't that many splashes in free agency.
Yeah.
And
I have two guys that you didn't mention. James Jones going from Green Bay to the Raiders, that's pretty self-explanatory. And I think a lot of people are not going to agree with me on this, but I have DeSean Jackson on this list.
What, down?
Yeah.
Yeah, most likely.
He goes from Chip Kelly's offense, where he's the undisputed number one, to an offense with a injury-prone quarterback and a guy that, if he didn't, he was top three. Hold on, I'll look it up right now so I don't say it wrong.
Drew Garcon?
I believe he led the league in targets last year, right?
I know he was up there at some points of the season.
He did.
I mean,
he led the league in targets.
Even when he was injured, too, so.
Yeah. He led the league in targets and catches, actually. I don't know. I don't think it's a coincidence that DeSean Jackson had his highest total number of catches and touchdowns last year in Chip Kelly's offense. I think he goes back. He had 82 catches last year, I believe. I think he goes back to that 60 to 65 guy that he was last year, and obviously less catches means less opportunity to make plays.
Yeah, I guess you're. I mean, then again, the only thing I potentially disagree with is you bring James Jones to Oakland. Of course, it's a tough situation, but he's the clear-cut number one there. And
yeah, I don't really care about
that. At least they have a viable quarterback. At least Matt Schaub, he's much better than anything they've had in recent years. I don't think he's going to be good. It's the same situation. I mean, who would you rather have next year, Eric Decker or James Jones?
I probably Decker, but I don't think I would own either one.
Yeah, I wouldn't own either one. But, you know
it goes to show you the power of Peyton Manning, though, at least for me. My top two up in the whole NFL are Monty Ball and Emmanuel Sanders, and the top two down are Nelson Moreno and Eric Decker.
And no, not just Peyton Manning. I mean, you could say and Aaron Rodgers, too. I mean, it's just a product of, you know, who's throwing these guys the ball, pretty much. So, all right, last but not least, let's go over second-year running backs, which we actually just decided this morning to put it in because it's intriguing to me. It's, you looked at it, we talked about this last year with the rookie running backs and what order we thought they were going to go in, and we pretty much limited it to Monty Ball, Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell, and Gio Bernard, just because they were, I believe, the top four guys drafted. And not only that, but they had the best situations. They were going into the best situations.
Right.
And now you have the emergence of two other guys, Andre Ellington and Zach Stacy. So, and I don't know about you, I had a tough time doing it. Of course, after giving it a little thought, and as you could tell from my mock draft, I put Monty Ball first.
Well, let's first start with first, because I think that's the only guy that we're going to have in the same position on our list. Andre Ellington is number six for you, I'm guessing.
No, actually not.
Really? Who is
I put you over Bernard at six.
Oh, wow. I haven't met. Okay. So, let's start from the top then. You have Monty Ball as number one. I have Eddie Lacy as number one.
Yeah, and that's fine. It can go either way.
Honestly, my top four can go either way. I think there's a clear-cut five and six. To me.
Definitely a clear-cut five and six. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
well, no, there's not, because you're number six guy, I'm the number three.
Well, as in who's going to – the two guys who are going to finish last. I think Ellington and Bernard will go last. And
I have
again,
Le'Veon, and
of course not.
I have Le'Veon.
No, I talked to someone today who thought Gio Bernard was the top two at this list. So,
well, I love Gio Bernard this year. I think he's going to be the guys there. And well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So we both have Lacy Ball 1-2. I have Lacy 1. You have Ball 1. I get where you're coming from. I think Ball definitely has more upside. I just think that Lacy showed a little bit more last year, and if I'm going to take a guy with a first-round pick here, it's going to be Lacy. I think you could basically pencil him in for 1,200 yards and double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah, unless he gets hurt. That's
right, unless he gets hurt. But, and the underrated thing about Lacy last year was in limited action, he had 35 catches. I think he can catch 50 balls.
Yeah, I just love Monty Ball's potential. Just love his opportunity. I've always loved his talent, even coming out of Wisconsin. So, just not necessarily a safer pick. Like I said, he's a fumble away from being a huge bust, especially if you take him fifth overall.
I definitely don't think he's – I think Lacy's a safer pick of anything.
I don't know who the safest pick on this list is. To be honest, probably Le'Veon Bell.
Nah, Gio Bernard is the safest pick. I think he's the
– I guess, yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to rethink this over and over. And
right.
Whatever. I mean,
with camp battles and stuff like that, all of this
right.
can change.
I have Stacy 3 right now. And like I said, I would have loved him even more if Trey Mason wasn't brought into the fold. But and I just put Le'Veon 4. It's kind of the same thing. I think 1-2 can swip swap. I don't know if did I say it correctly.
Swap spots.
Yeah. And
swap spots. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Whatever. 3-4, the same way. I think Zach Stacy, Le'Veon Bell can switch as well. They can go either way. And I think 5-6 between Andre Ellington and Gio Bernard.
I don't know why you're so down on Bernard.
I just, why would they draft another running back and not cut Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? It's just, there's three guys there are going to get carries. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. He's probably potentially the most talented out of all these guys. And if you consider a PPR league, he's definitely the most versatile and elusive.
71 targets last year.
I know
that was 4.1 yards per carry. I think the only thing about Bernard is that I don't think he's going to be a big touchdown guy.
No,
he's the one guy. No, well, Ellington too, but Ellington and Bernard are the two guys on this list that probably won't get goal line carries. Although Bernard got a couple goal line carries last year, didn't he? Didn't Greenhouse start getting them? Because I remember Bernard jumping over the pile a couple times.
I don't remember off the top of my head. I know he had a two or three touchdown game, but I remember him breaking off like 10-yard runs. So I mean, I don't necessarily remember. It's definitely something you got to monitor. But this is why it could be pretty pointless to talk about fantasy this early, but it's also why it's so awesome. I mean, just making these early predictions and, you know, inevitably being wrong.
Yeah, did you know last year in a keeper league I had Ellington and I had to cut him. I just had no one else to cut. And I think I'm going to regret that.
I wouldn't be so surprised. Who did they? I mean, Rashard Mendenhall retired. So what's the – did they draft another – I think they drafted a running back, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
You look at Arizona, they took – no, they didn't even take a running back. So
did they sign someone? They had to sign Jonathan Dwyer they signed, I think.
They signed Jonathan Dwyer. That's it. Jesus. I mean, it looks like he's the guy there. They really have nothing else. Jonathan Dwyer, he was caught by Pittsburgh and signed a week or two later or something.
Yeah, I mean,
and they had, but
he will be their goal line back probably.
I don't know. I mean, he was cut when Le'Veon Bell was hurt. So that makes it even worse. I didn't realize how bad the situation was there.
Another underrated thing, though, is has any running back not signed yet? Like, any decent running back not signed?
I was thinking that before. I'm not sure. No one that I know. There's no, like, kind of like a Willis McGahee of last year who's going to just be signed midseason and automatically become the starter.
Right. Anyway, what I was getting at is another underrated thing is that there will be cuts after June 1st, which is next Sunday. You get to save a little bit more cap room. So for guys that had a lot of guaranteed money, like I know the Giants are cutting David Boss after June 1st. He's a center. But, you know, there is a chance. I'm trying to think of any guys. Like, you think New Orleans has a bunch of running backs? Do you think they might cut somebody? Probably not, right?
There's going to be like a cap casualty like Ben Jarvis. Huh? He might get.
Maybe one of the guys from Carolina. Didn't Carolina draft a running back?
Let me look it up. I mean, they still have those three. Is Stewart, D'Angelo, and Tolbert, are they all still on the team?
Tolbert, and then they have Kendron Barner. And didn't they draft? I thought they drafted somebody. I could be wrong, though.
They drafted Tyler Gaffney in the sixth round.
Okay, so maybe they're probably not going to cut
him. I don't know what they're doing. I mean, they did take Benjamin, the wide receiver, which is an obvious need. They're stockpiling running backs, which doesn't make much sense. But
I really could not be more down on the Carolina Panthers as a whole this year. I'm down on Newton. I'm down on anyone on the Panthers, except for maybe – do you think this helps Greg Olsen or not? I don't know, like the lack of weapons.
Yeah, Mason, I think he's by far the number one guy.
I don't think he's good enough where teams are going to go out and try to stop, like, purposely game plan around him. So maybe the lack of weapons will actually help him. At least we know Newton trusts him. But, like, I think the Panthers had a terrible offseason. I couldn't be more – they might finish last in that division next year.
Yeah, it's definitely – I mean, that's another stock up for tight end. Greg Olsen, you can move him up a little bit. He was always pretty solid, especially in PPR leagues. He's going to be Cam Newton's go-to guy this year. I mean, anything else you want to touch up on? I think we pretty much covered everything.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, it's just going to be an exciting offseason to see what happens. You know, there's just we're sitting here in the middle of May talking about this, and there's just so much more to happen before training camp starts.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, like I said, as we said in the beginning, this is only just a one-time off-season show. We're probably going to have one more before the start of the regular scheduled program. So if anyone has any...
When are we starting?
Just like
mid-July.
Just like all these training camp battles. It's way too early to tell.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. We'll touch up on other situations. Probably come out with our rankings earlier than usual. Everything
we'll have
will be
an update on Back Sports page about our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, of course. So follow up. I think that's it. That's all we have for today. This is Mo for T and Cons. We have the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks for listening, and have a great day. The way we take it to the house. Take it to the house. Take it to the house. 3-0.